السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble brothers and sisters and dear children, today I would like my noble audience to first of all register one word, and inshallah we will try to speak and construct our discussion around that one word. And if we trace the message of today with its origin, the origin is akhlaq. We are speaking about akhlaq, but we are speaking about different dimensions, different aspects of akhlaq. The word for today is i'tidal. I'tidal. And i'tidal comes from the word adl. And adl means justice. Inshallah, in a few moments when we recite the Arabic khutbah, we will conclude on the recitation of a verse from Surah Nahl. And it's not only me that will recite that one ayah, it will be recited by most of the a'imma throughout the world. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah orders adl. Adl means justice. Justice between myself and my creator. Justice between me and my fellow beings. Justice between me and my wife, my children, my muqtadi, so on and so forth. So the word in itself seems like very small. But the more we dive into the depth of this word, the more volumes of knowledge open to us. So today we are going to speak about i'tidal. I'tidal that has to be established at the center of akhlaq, and that is the heart. We made mention in the past that there are natural feelings that take place in the heart. Natural feelings. For example, we will focus upon two or three today. One is anger, it's a natural feeling. Number two, self-respect. Self-respect is a natural feeling. Carnal desires, it's a natural feeling. If a person has no anger, or the feeling of no anger, or he has no self-respect, or he does not have any carnal desires, he will be declared as a sick person. He will be declared as a sick person. Because these are natural feelings. If we use them productively, wisely, we will live a beautiful life. But if we don't use them properly, we will be breaking the command of Allah Almighty, and we will place ourselves in a dark corner. For example, anger. It's a natural feeling. Allah gave it to us for a reason. Allah gave it to us for a reason. If I had no anger in the heart, then anyone could come and kick me from pillar to post. They could abuse me, and they could abuse the people that were very well connected to me. Because I do not have any anger, I would not respond physically or verbally, and they will walk over me. So akhlaq demands that when our anger is activated by something around us, we adorn that anger with i'tidal.
This is akhlaq. We adorn that anger with i'tida. And what is the meaning of i'tidal when it comes to anger? The ulama, Allah reward them, have so beautifully made mention that pehli to ye baat hai ke jagah sahi ho aur phir uski miqdar bhi sahi ho. When it comes to anger, the i'tidal is that I express my anger at the right place, and number two, at the right quantity. So if the place is not of anger, meaning that I do not express my anger at the right place, I have abused my natural feeling. I cannot be called a person of akhlaq. Make sense? I'll give examples in a few moments. And let's say it was the place of anger and I expressed my anger, but I crossed the limits. That means I have abandoned i'tidal pertaining to anger. I will not be called a person of good conduct, good akhlaq. Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak Hakim and Imam Abu Dawood has made mention on the strength of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مُرُّوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشَرٍ وَضْرِبُوهُمْ وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. Now if we study this beautiful narrative superficially, it will not allow us to attain akhlaq. We will abuse the message of this hadith to suit ourselves. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first says, order your children to establish prayer when they reach the age of 7. The ulama of hadith have made mention, before 7, don't put pressure on your children. Before the age of 7, do not put pressure on your children. Let them be children. Let them enjoy life. Let them enjoy life. But when they reach the age of 7, then you start to educate them about prayer. Now out of the ibadat, the chief ibadat is salah. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam explicitly made mention of salah. But this word as-salah is inclusive to zakat as well. It is inclusive to all the other major ibadat. That we order our children to establish salah and we make them fast as well. Now of course they're going to cheat, let them cheat. But you introduce them to the fast. If you can take them for Hajj, take them for Hajj. If they have pocket money, give them the understanding of zakat as well. So from the age of 7 onwards, you are introducing them to the ibadat. You are introducing them to Allah Almighty. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشَرٍ. And you allow to physically discipline them. I try to be very careful with my words. You are allowed to physically discipline them when they reach the age of 10. Now let's stop here. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has used the word wadribuhum. And warb means to physically strike somebody. Now if a person does not understand the meaning of dharab, because we have to understand the deep meaning of dharab by the one that established this narrative. I can't determine what wadribuhum is. I have to understand from the Nabi of Allah who established this narrative. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you're not allowed to strike them on the face. And if you strike them, you're not allowed to leave a mark. You're not allowed to leave a mark. It is just to inform him of what he is doing is incorrect. Let me divert from here now. Domestic violence is becoming rapid in our communities. And one of the reasons why it is becoming rapid, because many of us have come from male-dominated cultures, where Islamic rights have not been given to women. And when we come to Australia, and I'm not saying all of us do this, it may be a very small number, but we are receiving complaints nowadays more than before. More than before. So it is most important that we address this issue and try to understand. So domestic violence in Islam, of course, is not accepted. But then those that are committing this crime, they will relate the verse of Surat An-Nisa. They will relate the verse of Surat An-Nisa, in which Allah Almighty categorically makes mention of the three steps that allows a sister to return back to the noble path of marriage. That first of all, verbally educate her, highlight, pinpoint the mistake that she is making that is destructive to her well-being, destructive to the structure of marriage, destructive pertaining to the children. Verbally speak to her. If that does not work, separate the bistar, the beds. So sleep in a different room. Do not leave the house, but leave the room. And then Allah Almighty, He says, the third step, that if that does not work, Allah uses the same word, idrib. Then you can physically discipline them. So many men say, this is our right. It is our right. We don't care about the law. We don't care about what people are saying. Allah has given us that right. But we do not understand the depth of this ayah. And we do not understand the deep definition of wadribuhum in this ayat as well. Wadribuhunna. We do not understand. Let me draw your attention to this concept that the ulama have extracted from this ayah, and how beautifully they have established the true definition of a dharb in this ayat of Surat An-Nisa. Indeed, when two people come together, there's going to be arguments. There's going to be arguments. It doesn't mean that the person that you are arguing with, you do not love. But there's a certain point that we do not agree upon, so we start to argue. That is fine. Now a certain point comes where the wife, she crosses the limits set by Allah Almighty. For example, she's not waking up in the morning. She's not waking up in the morning for Salatul Fajr. She's not taking care of the children. She's not cleaning the house. And let me just stop here for one split moment. My noble sisters that are listening downstairs, when you clean the house, when you cook the food, when you take care of the children, keep in mind you're getting the reward of ibadat. When my noble sisters pray nafil, they feel enjoyment because they know that they're getting a reward for this. Indeed, taking care of the domestic structure sometimes takes its toll. And the sisters get tired, frustrated, we understand that. But keep in mind the reward that you will gather from this will be greater than the reward that you gather from nawafil. So the time you spend cooking, all that time is ibadat. Adorning, beautifying the children, keeping the house clean. This is all ibadat. That's why it has been said that on the day of judgment, that lady, al-mar'atu saliha, tu'inu zawjaha ala diniha, that pious lady, and I believe all our women are pious, because they assist us in the matters of deen. We come to the masjid, they're taking care of the children. We leave the house, they keep it clean. We leave the house, they cook the food. So they are mar'atu saliha. When we come to the masjid, they do not prevent us. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that on the day of judgment, this lady, this wife, she will be on a higher podium than the husband. And the reason behind it is that the husband, whatever he did, let's say he gathers 1 million virtues, and he's standing on the podium where those people are standing that have gathered 1 million virtues, the wife will be on that podium where people will be standing of 2 million. Reason being is that whatever the husband has done, she gets the reward for that, and in addition, she gets the reward for what she used to do as well. So my noble sisters listening, Allah reward you. You do a tremendous job. You do a tremendous job. But don't take it as a burden. If one person is going to pray Salatul Jumu'ah, and he prays, he takes time out, and he comes to the masjid, and he's establishing prayer, and he says, Allahu Akbar, but there's a burden. Allah is going to value your ibadat based upon the sentiments as well. Based upon those feelings, if we are discharging the ibadat as a burden, this will be disliked by Allah Almighty. Likewise, my noble sisters, Allah reward you, that when you do domestic duties, the chores of the house, enjoy it. Every moment that you are spending is a ibadat. And my noble brothers, you listen to that. Appreciate that. Remind your wife that alhamdulillah, you are doing a tremendous job. Every person, may it be me, may it be you, sometimes need somebody to come and tap on the back and say, mashallah, you're doing a good job. That's human nature. It's human nature. But sometimes, in the domestic structure, between the husband and the wife, there's a misunderstanding, or the wife, she takes a different route that Allah does not allow. And that can happen as well. That's human life. Then we start to address this issue by the steps stipulated by the Quran that verbally we speak to her. Now in that speech, you have to be regulated by akhlaq. In that speech, you have to be regulated by akhlaq. You can't be spitting venom. Your voice and your words and the construction of your sentences should not project venom and hatred. There should be compassion there. And you speak to the sister. This is the tafsir of this ayah. Now most probably, the sister when she finds, or the wife when she finds that my husband is speaking in this manner to me, she will sit down, she will contemplate, and there's a high probability that she may reform herself. But if that does not work, then the second step is you separate the beds. Now you tell me, if a person does, you know, each time there's a small quarrel, a small misunderstanding, he separates the bed, then this becomes a norm. Then this will not be considered as a step. This will not be considered as the second step. Separating the bed has to be something that comes as a shock to the lady. Whoa! My husband, he sleeps with me every night. We talk at night. We sleep on the same bed. We wake up on the same bed. But suddenly he has moved away. That this is something serious. What if the husband, every second day he's in the other room? Then this step is not going to work. So that step in itself indicates it has to come as a shock to the lady. I know of cases where the husband and the wife are not speaking and they're living in the same house. They have not shared the bed for many, many months. Now if you apply this formula of the glorious Quran, may it be number one, number two, it's not going to work. Because it is not something that is unique. It is not going to come as a shock. It is something as a norm. Keep that in mind. These are your trump cards. You don't flash them everywhere. You only bring it out when needed. Trump card, mashallah. So one person here, he's like, let's say he's a DC, right? And he's got the card, no one knows him, and he's going everywhere. I'm the DC. It's not going to work. The people say, what is this person? But he keeps it in his pocket, and then when he's challenged, and now he knows there's no way out, he pulls it out. Oi, you behave. Do you know who I am? I said, whoa. It came as a shock. That's how we separate the bed. Now you can understand where I'm going with this. The third step is وَضْرِبُوهُمْ. Now the general principle pertaining to physical discipline is not on the face. May it be your child, may it be your wife, may it be your younger brother, not on the face. Don't strike them on the face. This face bows in front of Allah. This face is the city of knowledge. The eyes, the ears, the intellect, the tongue. Do not strike the city of knowledge. It is noble. It has been given honor. And that's why we place this face on the ground in sajda. Don't strike it. Don't strike it. That's why when you want to show your wife, your sister, your mother, your sheikh, your ustad, respect, you kiss him on the forehead. It's a place of respect. How many times we kiss our mother on the forehead? We kiss our wife on the forehead. We kiss our daughter on the forehead. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to return, he used to kiss Hazrat Fatima on the forehead. How can you strike that face? Next step, don't strike them on the face. Don't strike them on the body in a way that you leave a mark. Now let's come to the third step of the Quran that many people take, misuse it, misunderstand it. The Quran says that if this does not work, now most probably that sister that has not reformed and she's making a mighty crime, whatever crime it is, I don't want to get into that. I'm not talking about a petty issue, a mighty crime. She has to be nashiza, committing a mighty, mighty crime. And number one didn't work, number two didn't work. Now most probably that sister that is still adamant that what she is doing is right, she may be 5% of the entire women race. 95% has accepted. Now Islam says you physically discipline them. Now this physically discipline, first of all that law, keep that in mind. But if a person is always striking his wife, it will not come as a shock. This ayat in itself means that a man does not use this trump card. Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even if this permission is there, a gentleman will not utilize this. He will not use this permission. Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a gentleman will not use it, because through his gentleness the lady will reform herself. The maqsad is she reforms herself. She comes back, commits herself to the marriage, commits herself to the family, commits herself to the children. That is the maqsad behind it. It is not beating her. Now if one person is always pushing his wife, swearing at his wife, abusing his wife, disrespecting his wife, how will the first step or the second step or the third step work? This is your trump card. It has to come as a shock. One person has never ever touched his wife without affection. Always when he touches her with affection. Always. How are you? And suddenly goes like this. Like, whoa. He never ever touched me like this. That is the maqsad of the verse. Not that you bang her and push her. Allahu Akbar. What deen is that? What deen is that? Who made us, the men, the judges? Who gives us that authority? If we treat the ones that are so close to us in this fashion, think about Allah, how He's going to treat us. Forgive, so Allah can forgive. Be compassionate, so Allah can be compassionate. Coming back to the topic, so I think you've got a gist of what I'm trying to say. That anger, you're allowed to express your anger, but it has to be with the proper miqdar, quantity. If the child is doing something that is incorrect, now of course it is the time to express your anger, but it has to be regulated. It has to be dictated. If you cross the limits, you become zalim. One sheikh from Egypt, from Jami Azhar, he has compiled many, many different rulings, instructions pertaining to children. About 600 pages thick a book, Ahkamus Sighar, the laws pertaining to the youngsters. And he said that on the day of judgment, that teacher, like where I studied in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, places like that, maybe even in the Middle East, the hafiz, Allahu Akbar, I don't know what word you can use for that physical discipline. They start from one corner and they end on the other corner, beating the child. Child is 10, 11 years old. He says on the day of judgment that child will hold that teacher responsible. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be controlled. He's not your enemy. The teacher will hit the child. The husband will hit the wife. The brother, elder brother will hit the younger brother as there is animosity there. There's hatred. He's my enemy. He's my foe. Bang, bang, bang. Allahu Akbar. That's not the maqsad of this. Maqsad is that the sick person should understand the sickness that he is carrying and take a back step. Take a back step. We have run out of time. There's a lot of announcements that I have to make. But next week we will continue the topic of i'tidal, that is pertaining to the topic of akhlaq. Allah Rabbul Izzah give all of us tawfiq to understand and to implement. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.